are part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Welcome to a brand new broadcast week. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn. Conversation radio unlike any other. And I'm awfully glad you could drop by for this initial broadcast of the week. Of course, it is Monday. And being Monday, you know that Monday has a special place in the broadcast schedule. Because it's the day we reserve after what is usually a very fruitful weekend of bad for-profit media and the usual assortment of weird right-wingers. Monday is the day we reserve for idiots. The knuckle walkers, the mouth breathers who move among us, seen and today is no different. It absolutely is no different. Because, well, after all, it's Moran Monday on the Horn. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Step right up, step right up. Don't be shy, son. Come along. Leave the back of the crowd. Come forward. Be a leader, not a follower. Follow me right in behind this cybernetic thin veil of circus tent canvas, where you will see right-wing morons, media morons, morons beyond your wildest comprehension. You can't tell the morons without a program, and this is the program that tells them. You just can't tell them much. Because, after all, they are, in fact, morons. Morons everywhere. Head for the hills, folks, or you'll be up to your armpits in morons. It's Moran Monday on the Horn. No one will be admitted after the first 5 minutes. And I got a feeling we're going to be busy tonight. We got a better than usual crop of morons this weekend. Oh, we harvested a real bumper crop of morons this weekend. Media morons, right-wing presidential hopeful morons, 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 morons. It's Moran Monday on the Horn. And, well, let me just, I don't know that there's ever a clear winner for Moran Monday. But we will start out with an email from Sean. It says, I would like to nominate the people of the state of Iowa who voted for Michelle Bachmann and who send the brain-dead Steve King and the fence post Chuck Grassley back to Congress as morons for Moran Monday. Following Bachmann's straw poll win in Ames, my sister, now living in Utah, vows not to let the word Iowa cross her lips. Me, I kind of feel like the feeling of intellectual superiority when I look at those who know not what they do and whom I live among in this state. As a recovering dumb bastard myself, I served in Vietnam. I am tolerant of those who have not seen the light or choose not to see the light. The struggle continues. P.S. The tomatoes are slow to ripen, but I did 10 quarts of juice and 7 quarts of potatoes today. Oh! And it is such a good feeling looking at the jars sitting on my counter. Sweet corn is on, and this time of year is mighty fine eating. Oh, yes, it is. So, we get a double bonus out of Sean's email. On the one hand, we get our first Moran Monday nomination. And on the other hand, we get the opening salvo of food porn on the program this evening. By the way, for those of you who like me, not those of you who like me. You like me. You really, really like me. No. For those of you who like me, can you hear the commas now? For those of you who like me, enjoy watching Anthony Bourdain's No Reservations on the Travel Channel. I'll just to let you know, I'll miss the first hour of Rick Smith and Malloy tonight. They both run at the same time back here. It can get kind of zany at times listening to two radio programs at once. I will be missing the first hour of both of them, however, because I will be watching No Reservations. He goes back, Bourdain goes back to, speaking of food porn, back to Ukraine. Or to Ukraine. And I think this should be a rather telling, you know, it just keeps getting better. Because among other things, there will be a visit to Chernobyl. And for those of you who want to know what a visit to Fukushima will look like in 30 years, yeah, you might want to watch tonight. No Reservations with Anthony Bourdain. But, so, you know, that food porn, 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon. I don't know how we get to Kevin on this one, but you know how it works. It is Morin Monday, and yes, the people, the pig-licking people of the state of Iowa certainly have earned their little statuette and their certificate suitable for framing this evening. But in conjunction with that, I mean, because God, now I'm not being critical, because God knows this is funny. But suddenly, corn dogs are the new pig-licking meme. Honestly. Even as inept and false-starty and halting as White House communications can be, and they can be, can you imagine anybody in the White House, in the press office, ever thinking it would be a good idea to let Obama be photographed, President Obama be photographed, eating a corn dog? Well, it didn't happen once this weekend. It happened 3 times. And they are all 3 of them some kind of special. Yes, I realize we're talking about photography on the radio. Yes, I realize that's the same as dancing about architecture. But you know what? How do you not? And look at the styles. The photograph of Michelle Bachmann eating a foot-long hot dog. Shades of deep throat. Look at the eyes. And this is, you know, most of you are near a computer. So, you know, it's okay. Open another tab. Look up Michelle Bachmann, Corn Dog, Iowa. And look at the eyes. Oh, my God, Becky. She looks like, a crack addict? You know, who's gonna get a little bump as soon as she's done in exchange? So, and this is the glory of social media at work. I looked at the Michelle Bachmann photo and went, woo! And then tweeted something along the lines of, Oh, please, please, baby Jeebus, let me see the photo of Marcus Bachmann with his corn dog. And there it was! A Twitterer by the name of Subarubu promptly sent me a link. And this one's even better. Because in this case, it's Michelle Bachmann holding up the corn dog to Marcus's face and his mouth, and him with his teeth tightly clenched. And you can just hear Michelle saying, Marcus, Marcus, how many times have I had to tell you? No teeth! Whew! It's as if he wants the corn dog, but it doesn't want the corn dog. I mean, it's a real, oh, Dr. Freud kind of moment. And yes, it was Sigmund once being questioned because of Freud's fascination with all things phallically symbolic. It was Freud who responded to a person who queried him about his ever-present cigar by saying, well, you know, sometimes a cigar is only a cigar. And with virtually anybody else walking around the fairgrounds there in Iowa over the weekend, but sometimes a corn dog is only a corn dog. But not with this bunch. Oh, no, not with Marcus Bachmann out there talking about those barbarian gays who need some discipline and who probably has his own pair of assless chaps hanging in the closet with the rest of his libido. No, not with Michelle Bachmann. No. And most assuredly, not with Rick Perry. Ooh, dear Jeebus. It was only today when Subarubu came around again on Twitter and said, oh, Bob, Rick Perry, corndog. And Rick Perry, I have to tell you, has a manly grasp on the base of that corndog. I'm ruining meals all around the planet this evening. And by the way, if you didn't catch it, and I guess it's gone now, but there was a photograph of Rick Perry standing with his arms stretched wide in a black suit with a red tie, and the lighting was just terrifying. It was from some speaking engagement. It was up at thinkprogress.org over the weekend, a big sort of splashy thing about Rick Perry and what a godforsaken weirdo he is. And I just looked at that, and I looked over at Agnes, and I said, oh, look, honey, it's little Damien, and he's all growed up. The man looked satanic. Probably mainly because, because he is. See, I've already done in somebody's dinner hour. Darlene, oh, my God. LOL, but gross, too, Michelle Bachmann corndog photo. Then she moved on to Marcus and the corndog. Almost looks like he's trying to shove it up his nose with her help. Yeah, LOL, but sick, too. Wait till you get to the Rick Perry one and that firm, manly grasp. Whew! And so a Moran nomination to the handlers. Well, that's probably the wrong word to use in this context. A Moran Monday nomination to the functionaries whose job it is to not let their candidates look like complete jackasses, even if they are, and who didn't have the common sense to... Was there a conspiracy? Is this a move-on thing? Is this thing maybe... Here, from the people of Iowa to you, Governor Perry, this Laurel and Hardy corn dog. I don't know. I just can't imagine that, that there is somebody out there so politically inept as to... Because you know what? If it was James Carville... Or who was Obama's guy? Axelrod? If it was James Carville or Axelrod, they would be diving from 10 feet away across bodies. It would be slow motion, with slow motion sound. No! And then it would pick up to normal speed again as they slapped the corn dog out of the candidate's hand. Phew, saved your candidacy there, sir. I mean, how is the corndog photo not going to follow Michelle Bachmann wherever she may go? And for those of you... Well, no. I can't imagine there's any of you who would find this pleasant. But for those of you who... For those of you who are interested in performance and technique, how's that? I really do have to recommend the Rick Perry approach. I mean, he looks like he really knows what he's doing. Yeah. Really knows what he's doing. So we had, and really, yeah, Sean, I get it. Everybody who voted, of course, the Ames straw poll is about as meaningless as a discussion of Kantian philosophy as carried out among Huey, Dewey, and Louie. But really, is the state of Iowa that far gone? And I guess you could argue, yeah, it is. Steve King, Charles Grassley. I mean, that Grassley punk has been in the Senate since God was a baby. I remember him coming to fame with his nerd glasses and his weaselly little pinched-up voice during the Iran-Contra hearings when he offered to go and all but offered to go and do for Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North what Rick Perry was doing for that corn dog. And there's no sign of him going away anytime soon. More's the pity. So, absolutely, Sean. Absolutely. The state of Iowa, or Iowa's Republican voters, they are deserving of your nomination, and then some. But I have to move on to the media. Oh, ruined another one. John is out there in somewhere in far New York. Subject line, you're killing me. Performance and technique? Sorry, John. I mean, I tried, but, well, you know. And John also had a message earlier in the day and wanted me to share it with you. He said, Bob, I think after the straw poll this weekend, the Frankenstein's monster metaphor is particularly apt. I've seen this movie enough times to know how it's going to play out for the Republicans. The monster, Bachman, is created by the mad scientist, GOP, to do its bidding. All goes well for a while, until the monster inevitably turns on its creator. I just wish we could get to the destruction part already and that it will happen before too many innocent villagers get mangled. And John adds, I'd like to do another fundraising challenge if you're game. I'm going to kick in my little 10-buck Thrifty 250 contribution tonight, but I'm willing to match other contributions up to the first 50 bucks. In other words, I'll kick in the same amount that you raised tonight up to 50 bucks. If you raise 50, I'll chip in 50. If you raise 25, I'll give 25. If you raise 60, I'll give 50. Straightforward, right? Yeah. And John's actually off tonight. He's at the food porn segment number 2 of the program. John and I, because I've got one going outside too. It's just kismet that way. John is smoking a pork shoulder that he's given a sugar rub to in the night previous. And he tells me that they've also made a big batch of Alabama white sauce because his lovely wife is from Huntsville. Now, he introduced John to that little bit of magic. The North Alabama white sauce was originated at a joint called Big Bob Gibson's Barbecue, and it's good. It goes on white, but it becomes transparent in the cooking process and just adds this zippity zing of Florida that's it's almost past description. You can probably find a recipe out there for it. It's great. It is absolutely great on wings, too. Jim writing in, performance and technique. You know, Jim is ever the helper. Performance and technique. Don't forget style points after the dismount. You people. Do you realize how hard it is to do a radio show with things like that? But seriously, John is offering to match the first $50 that come in contributions. And I'll tell you that they are worse needed now than they have been in a long, long time. Because, well, the news about the Kincaid vehicles is not good. And by not good, I mean awful. The truck is a transmission issue that is some several thousands of dollars. And the other vehicle, well, that's a matter of getting it registered and everything, because I just parked it after my father passed away. Who can afford to put gas in two vehicles, right? And so it's got to be gotten on the road and probably a new gas tank. There are some possibilities of some epoxies and stuff. I'll try that first, but if that doesn't hold, it's going to get really ugly really quickly. So there's that. So if we could go on a little bit of a fundraising binge, yeah, that would be a real help. Because right now I'm running around in a rental. And those things aren't free. Had to have that, though, because Margie was going to have surgery tomorrow, right? I told you about that. Gallbladder out. Well, now Margie is not going to have surgery tomorrow because the fine folks who make such decisions have decided that her gallbladder is not tormenting her quite enough yet, so they want it retested before they will certify the surgery. Yeah, that's nice. Margaret is miserable. And there's your rationed care. By the way, thanks to Jug for getting things started. I think we can do this little fundraiser tonight, and it would be much appreciated. And thanks to everybody who contributed over the weekend. We literally would not have made it without you. And Agnes and the girls would still be stranded over in Ripley 100 miles away. That's something we took care of yesterday. Darlene. I finally found the Rick Perry one. Another, oh my God. Yeah, see, Darlene understands what I mean by that firm, manly Texan grip. He didn't even bother using the stick to hold it. Good thing it'll be a few hours before I eat, says Darlene, so I can forget this. No, Darlene. What's seen cannot be unseen. So, but it is. It's a firm and manly grasp. Oh, by the way, just where Marcus Bachman, remember... You remember that Marcus Bachman, I've got the quote, the clip here. Let's just check out these 55 seconds of Marcus Bachman goodness. Wait. Let's do the setup the other way. You know, Marcus was, as the photographic evidence proves, swanning around the fairgrounds there in Ames, Iowa, in a dark sport coat with a sort of gray crew neck t-shirt going on. And a person confronted him, telling him that he resented and didn't much care for Mr. Bachman's wife because of the way she uses the gay community as a means of whipping her jihadist followers into a raging frenzy. And brings up the fact that Marcus Bachman himself has said that gay people need to be disciplined and that they are barbarians. Now remember, Marcus Bachman is a religious fundamentalist. He is most likely a dominionist, if not a Christian reconstructionist. Shades of difference between the two, with the Christian reconstructionist being even the nastier of the two. So when the barbarian discipline line comes up, listen carefully to Marcus Bachmann's remarks in Ames.
Barbarian was never. I'll tell you what.
Wait a minute. I want to make sure you get it all.
Barbarian was never.
A little further back.
Stand.
Okay. I'm here right now.
Finger.
You. Okay. The word barbarian was never, ever.
I'm not even.
I'll tell you what. I'll listen to you, and how about you listen to me? Would that be fair?
You've got to register to vote for Michelle.
There's a myth out there.
Just come into the yard and the grass, find the shortest line possible.
The homosexual community.
Find the shortest line possible to register.
I get to use my word, okay?
Don't be concerned about breaking the line. We have 20 to 40 lanes available.
I have never called the homosexual community. Barbarian.
Why do you have your ticket to vote for Michelle?
And when
come to the south
to
side. The south side of the bus.
Rejected.
Into the parking lot.
But you get the gist of it. I have never called the homosexual community barbarians. We got that, right? Now, it's probably true. He's never called the homosexual community barbarians. Except when he was calling the homosexual community barbarians. Right? He has never called the homosexual community barbarians except when he was calling the homosexual community barbarians.
We have to understand, barbarians need to be educated. They need to be disciplined. And just because someone feels it or thinks it doesn't mean that we're supposed to go down that road. That's what's called the sinful nature. And we have a responsibility as parents and as authority figures not to encourage such thoughts and feelings to move into the action steps. And let's face it, what's our culture? What is our public school system doing today? They are giving full, wide open doors to children, not only giving encouragement to think it, but to actually encourage action steps. That's why when we understand what truly is the percentage of homosexuals in this country, it's small. But by these open doors, I can see, and we are experiencing that it is starting to increase.
Marcus Bachmann says he was talking about children being barbarians who needed discipline. Well, that's the unedited, undoctored, unfooled with audio right there. And you wondered why I said he's got a pair of assless chaps hanging in his closet alongside the rest of his libido. Let's take Marcus Bachmann at his word. Let us take Bachmann as a truth teller. If but for the sake of argument. Marcus Bachmann described, according to him, children as barbarians. I'm sure in his world, if they're actually Arabic or dark-skinned children, they're also terrorists. Children are barbarians who need discipline. We should not be shocked, after all, because this is a guy who is completely in line with James Dobson, who founded Focus on the Family out in Colorado Springs. And it was James Dobson who said of misbehaving children that you should beat them until they cry real tears. Real tears, not those phony ones, but the real ones. You know, the ones that are accompanied by words like, Daddy, please stop it. Daddy, don't hurt me anymore. Daddy, I'll be good. Barbarians who need discipline.
I was talking in reference to children. Nothing to do with homosexuality. That's not my mindset. That's not my belief system. That's not the way I would talk.
Yeah. Of course, he also denies having done homo-nomo therapy. That, too, having been completely discredited. Oh, there's... Yeah. There's plenty of morality. Well, I am proud to tell you, John, that your challenge has been met. Thank you very kindly to all of you. Francis, David, Kate, and Jug, thank you very much for making that happen and meeting that challenge ever so quickly. Jim asking a question regarding Rick Perry. Did his wife catch him with a male companion playing doctor? I'm not sure exactly what they were playing, Jim, but the word on the street, as the saying goes, down in Austin, Texas, is that, yeah, she did. She caught the Rick Perry in flagrante delicto, which is Latin for bed, with some guy. And Sandra sent this along earlier today. It is of sufficient concern to the Perry people that, well, here's the headline, Rick Perry gay rumors, governor's aides prepared to tackle allegations should they resurface, report. So, yes, they are getting busy trying to deal with the fact that here in a little bit, all those, well, all those things that sort of dogged him, back in 2004, 7 years ago, may resurface. The crusted over rumors, this is from Politico, the crusted over rumors were in either in the ether among some attendees at a dinner party hosted last week by the Manhattan County GOP where Perry gave the keynote speech. But Team Perry, Jesus, asked about how it's prepared to handle them when they emerge if he runs, said it remains false and misleading. False and misleading? Come on. Wait a minute. It's false. Isn't that enough? It's false. It's false. It's the inclusion of that second word and third word and misleading that makes you take a do one of those W.C. Fields triple takes. It's false and misleading. Because misleading is when you see a couple of guys coming out of a steamy, walking, word choice, walking out of a steamy shower together, with longing looks in their eyes for one another, but they're really not. They were talking football or something. Or, you know, maybe talking about how Chicago should try to get hold. No, never mind. That's misleading. But false and misleading? That's beyond bad grammar. That's beyond redundancy. That is, what? That is trying so hard to refute something that you wind up confirming it. Yeah. John just sent along a note. Thanks to the folks who matched funds. Thank you, John, for providing the impetus. So that's, you know, that's the early crop of political morons for the evening. But just like a Gensu commercial, wait, there's more. Because we have to have a media moron nomination tonight. Because there were some media morons in on exhibit last night. I don't know if you tuned in. There was quite a bit of buzz about it in certain circles. I don't know if you tuned in to CNN at 8 p.m. for the Battle for Blair Mountain special featuring Soledad O'Brien. But if you did, somewhere along the way, you were probably kicking furniture. CNN earning the Media Moran nomination for this evening. They did it again. How they did it again is probably best expressed by Matt Osborne. who wrote a column today over at osborneinc.com, OSBORNEINK.com, called Forget Truth, We Want Controversy. And in talking about the CNN piece, he said, CNN chose the industry's preferred frame of a battle between environmentalism and jobs. Never mind that there are more florists in West Virginia than mountaintop removers, also more nurses, teachers, and police officers. Never mind that mountaintop removal mining has a well-established history of extracting wealth from Appalachia and to leave nothing, especially jobs, behind. Never mind that the most mined counties in Kentucky and West Virginia are the most impoverished, have the highest rates of cancer and birth defects, and no future once the coal is extracted. If the water supply of millions gets poisoned, the responsible industry can call it progress and jobs. Who cares about the truth? Ratings come from controversy, which requires that you cover both sides. Remember, CNN is the liberal news network, so they have to pretend that both sides are equal. Yet in this fight, both sides are not equal. One side has a majority of West Virginians, powerful scientific evidence of the human consequences of mountaintop removal, and an unbroken history of nonviolent action. The other side has money, a mob of desperate people, and complete ownership of state government. Matt has done a brilliant takedown of that god-awful thing on CNN last night. And in his final sentence, absolutely nails it. This style of reporting would have made the Montgomery bus boycott about the bus drivers. Exactly. Exactly. Because that's what CNN did. We have these poor miners, and all they want to do is put food on their families. And over here we have environmentalists who are worried about frogs. You had to get halfway into the program before there was ever even the barest mention of the fact that mountaintop removal in Appalachia is causing almost countless birth defects, causing cancer, causing heart disease, shattering families, and that entire portion of the so-called documentary, the special report, this is a special report, was maybe a minute, possibly two, maybe three, certainly not five. But at one point, they took Dr. Michael Hendricks down to a stream, and he collected water samples from running water. It's not like it was sitting there still. And they tested on site, because Dr. Hendricks, in conjunction with the U.S. Geological Survey, is doing some rather extensive testing in southern West Virginia right now, trying to find out exactly how much is wrong with the water. And right there on site, without any sophisticated in-laboratory retesting, they showed that the parts per million of certain poisons level was at 1,000 or more, where it's only supposed to be 200. And it is coming from a mountaintop removal operation, and the stuff in there is poisonous to human health. Well, the stream runs right in front of and it's a place called Sharples. The stream runs right in front of the home of a mountain remover and his wife. And so they showed them the results. And I don't remember the guy's name, but he certainly gets a Moran Monday nomination from the Horn. They said, you know, this stuff has poison in it. Are you concerned? And the guy says, well, not really. I ain't too concerned. Because, see, I can look out there at the river, and there ain't no fish a-floating dead in it. And all these deers what comes down here to drink from the stream, well, they ain't getting a drink of water from a river and then coming over here and dying in my yard. I ain't a seeing no dead deer. And I ain't a seeing no dead fish. If I was a seeing some dead fish, I'd be a worrying.
You know, it makes it sound like he wants to live in some sort of hillbilly noir movie where a stumbling, shuffling deer comes pawing up to his front door and presses the doorbell, and leaning into his arms as it dies, says, poisoned. But remember, this is the kind of thing that is influenced by faith over facts. The coal industry has told him that, you know, that 10th grade education that he's got is plenty good for making him $50,000-$60,000 a year. And so consequently, everything else that the coal company tells him must be gospel truth, too, because he sure does like that $50,000, $60,000 a year on that 10th grade education. Right? So the coal company, well, ain't nothing wrong with that water. Also, they referred to, and you know, you've heard me talk about them. You may even have gone and seen pictures of them. They referred to a sludge sea as a man-made lake. Well, goddamn, let's go boating, Mrs. Howell!
It's a man-made lake. Yes, it's a lake. Your children come up and sail their little paper sailboats on it in the summer.
Never mind the fact that if you had a big old whopping glass of it, you'd probably be dead in a couple of days. CNN screws up again. Not that anyone should be particularly surprised. They're CNN. It's what they do. Because you can't talk about Battle for Blair. By the way, that's the hashtag if you want to do any tweeting and point out the fact that this thing was an epic failure. The hashtag is, hashtag sign, tic-tac-toe sign, Battle for Blair. Yeah. And you can also comment over at Alternet. Alternet has an article by our good friend Jeff Biggers, who collected the responses of me, Bo Webb, Vernon Halton, and may add more as they come in to point out what a failure this thing was. Wes Harris was a commenter. Matt Sherman was a commenter. If you go to alternet.org, it is filed under Dear Soledad, Appalachians respond to CNN's Blair Mountain special on mountaintop removal. And Jeff points out that Soledad O'Brien has done good work in the past, just not this time. And there is one thing, perhaps, that makes this different. CNN has taken millions of dollars from the coal industry. Millions of advertising dollars that are framed in terms of environmentalist is trying to take our good patriotic American jobs away from us. Right? Yeah. So that might explain a little bit. Well, hey, look, guys. Yeah, I know. The coal companies are poisoning people and causing cancers and birth defects and everything. But instead, let's focus on the poor little coal miners' jobs versus those elite environmentalists. That'll be good TV, won't it? And it'll make our masters, who pay us millions of dollars at CNN to advertise how good coal is, it'll make them happy, too, because we can portray the coal miners as being beset by people who want to destroy their jobs. Run with it. When, in fact, it's all about the fact that the coal industry is, continues to, and always will engage in profit at all costs, including the cost that is measured in human life, failing human organs, blood, tragedy, grim death, and families shattered beyond repair. Because that's what coal does. So it's about 14 minutes before the hour. We'll take a little break and come back. This is, after all, Moran Monday and Conversation Radio all at once. And your input is very much important. Thanks very much for your financial contributions. I can't tell you how important they are right now. Desperately so. So we'll be back. You know the phone number, 877-443-2366, 877 the numeral 4, head on your nickel, 304-658-3333. Got a couple of lines open if you want to get in line early. America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is The Horn. Taking up.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance, and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Total Genius. It's not your mother's soap.
Hey, dude, wait 1 second. It's totally my mother's soap.
Total Genius. It's not your father's soap.
No. See, right here, I've got soap for my dad.
And you know what? It's not just soap. Look, it's stuff for my dog.
Holy crap. There's even stuff for all my pregnant friends.
And hippies.
And hey, dude, loosen that tie. Try it again.
Total Genius. You got your soap right here.
And got your Batman body stuff.
www.bubblegenius.com.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
A little bit early, about 4 minutes before the hour. Email just came in from our good friend Fancy a couple of minutes ago. Poll tax, she asks. I understand that there is a fee of $30 to vote in the Ames straw poll. I also understand that interested parties buy in large lots to pass out to voters. It seems this would color the results. And it does. It obviously does. After all, look who came in second in the Ames straw poll. Ron Paul. That guy, no. Just no. The Ames straw poll is a fraud. It's a fraud. In which one can engage in vote buying and not be prosecuted for it. So, small surprise then that, you know, Michelle Bug Spray Crazy Bachman would come out on top. Poor word choice. It's a tough evening, believe me. William liked the bumper music, or tonight's musical interlude, or whatever you care to call it. He said, nice stuff. I can hear echoes of Albert King's crosscut saw in the rhythm groove. Well, that was, that's from the first Dire Straits album. That's Water of Love. I love that backbeat there. That little, what is that, a bossa nova? Or, I don't know. But the slide guitar is just magnificent. Water of Love from the Dire Straits self-entitled LP of God. Too many years ago for me to count. But Mark Knopfler is a guitar player's guitar player. That's why he became such good friends with Chet Atkins. And Chet Atkins passed on the Appalachian certified guitar player to Mark Knopfler. I think they all, and then I think they both decided that Tommy Emmanuel, an Australian, was also CGP, if I recall correctly. So, let's get the second hour of the program started by going forthwith to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program. Hey, Susan, what's up?
Well, let me see, a couple things. First of all, the TV show last night. It's a good thing my husband's late husband's shotgun was unloaded. Otherwise, I'd be out buying myself a new TV set.
Yeah, you had one. Yeah, kind of. I was having an Elvis gun moment here, too. I looked at Ferguson, so I'm going to get me a peanut butter and banana sandwich and the Elvis gun. I'm going to shoot the TV some more.
And at any rate, I ended up screaming myself hoarse. Did you notice that truck driver's wife, her mother died? They very carefully did not say what she died of.
No. But they did. They did say, you know, she grew up, she lived in West Virginia, but she died in up in Ohio.
How much do you want to bet it was from cancer?
Sure, God knows that's what I was thinking, Susan, and the fact that they wouldn't mention what she died of told me what she likely died of.
Yeah, probably brain cancer.
Or some form of cancer. I mean, cancer. Yeah. There's all kinds of cancers that run around down in that area, all of the causes of which have been unleashed by the coal companies. But, you know, God forbid CNN should maybe point that out.
Oh, yes. And, you know, another thing that really got to me, this trucker, he's moping around, you know, when they denied the permit. He's moping around, and I'm standing there screaming at the two of them. You're a truck driver. Do you know how many trucker jobs are going begging? Get out and get a job, you ass. Pardon me.
Yeah. But see, there's a sense of spoiled privilege mindset that obtains down there.
Yeah, he was, and there was that.
You know, my daddy and my granddaddy, and they all worked in the coal industry, and I got a coal industry. Don't matter who I hurt.
Yeah, and did you know she was that part where he was griping about having to commute an hour?
Yeah, I used to commute a mile.
You poor baby. I used to work a 5-to-2 shift, 5 in the morning, and I blew through my little town here at 3:30 in the morning, and I had to go over a mountain pass to get to work. Rain, snow, or shine, didn't matter. I had to be there on time or I didn't have a job.
Well, as I think Vernon Haltom pointed out in his remarks that Jeff Biggers published, most of the people who work on a mountaintop removal site do not, Susan, do not live near the mess they make. They live an hour, 2 hours away because, frankly, they wouldn't want that filth in their backyard.
Yeah.
Did you notice the one guy, I forget his name, but he wanted to march in the Blair thing, but his wife told him not to because some co-worker would probably kill him.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to bring that up.
And yet CNN can't be bothered even to take 20 seconds to say there have been numerous events of violence perpetrated by supporters of mountaintop removal, but never one by the people who oppose it.
I know, and it just infuriated me. It made me nuts. I spent the entire hour almost screaming at the television set. I ended up literally hoarse.
I mean, how can you get, well, the money, the advertising dollars is how, but yeah, it was very frustrating. What was it, 35 minutes into the program, Susan, before they ever got around to mentioning that it's poisoning people?
Yeah. And they very casually, finally got around to mentioning what Blair Mountain was. And even then, they never really got around to the real reason why the coal companies want to erase that mountain so badly.
Right, because as the historian Keeney noted,
they want to destroy the history itself. It's a problem for them.
Yeah. But they didn't, you didn't hear that at all. And you'll notice the one thing that they really, really made it a point to leave out when they were talking about Blair Mountain, you know, they saw, you saw people going up and getting artifacts up there. But they very carefully left out the fact that some of those artifacts came from the United States Army when it fired on its own people.
Yeah, this thing, I think I used that, and it's a very much in-use hashtag for anything that turns out to be a total disaster. I think I hung the epic fail hashtag on that in a couple of tweets. It was just terrible, Susan. It was awful.
Yeah, it was propaganda of the First Order.
And
that's what it was.
Yeah, it certainly wasn't journalism.
Honey. The Nazis would have been proud of it. They really would. The Ministry of Propaganda in Nazi Germany would have been real proud of that because it would have been something they would have been proud to put their name to. It was that good propaganda. Yeah, I'm not saying that they are Nazis. I'm just saying that it's propaganda.
Yeah, it's that kind of, right, yeah.
Nobody did propaganda the way the Nazis did, and these guys are experts.
Precisely.
Now, here, my other reason for calling in.
Yes.
Those pictures.
And oh, the corn dog triptych?
Corn dog.
That's what it is. Oh, there it is. It's the Ames corn dog triptych.
Oh, my God. The image that just hit my head. complete with halos. but
you're a bad, bad woman, Susan. And we love you for it.
I really, really am. But have you, I know this has engendered a lot of chatter about Michelle Bachmann eating and, you know, the fact that she looks crazy even when she's eating.
Did you see, but those eyes, Jesus criminy, those eyes. I mean, did she look like a crack addict, or did she look like a crack addict?
No, you know what she looks like to me?
What's that?
She looks like she's about to swallow a rat hole. Ever seen the TV series V?
The dining contingent of the horn audience. Thanks you, Susan. Not. Jesus.
That's what
she looks like. She looks like you. Rats.
Sorry, folks.
Damn, I've got the shivers now.
Has Jennifer ever occurred to anybody that she might be an alien planning, you know, working on the invasion of the United States from outer space?
Well, you know, I got a little bit of grief for suggesting Bro Fromix needs to be out in the woods, you know, screaming at the squirrels or something. And I even got pushback from Jeanette on that, saying, you know, what did the damn squirrels ever do to deserve that?
Well, yeah, that's the problem. You see, he was me screaming at them. He would be trying to do them. sorry, he would. You know he would.
Here, squirrely, 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 squirrely. Here, squirrely.
He wouldn't be trying to eat them. He'd be trying to do them. Michelle.
You just keep one-upping yourself tonight.
I try. And I'm going to leave it at that. I'll let you go on to your next call.
Bless your heart, Susan. Thank you very much.
Wait, one more thing.
Yes. And thanks.
Yeah, this won't work. This won't wreck up your tummy. I just popped in a certain amount of money. I want to see if anybody can cough up enough money to match it.
So you want to throw a another $50 challenge out there?
Yeah.
Okie dokie. Yeah, that would be most helpful.
Come on, folks, pony up.
Well, and folks have been. I mean, we wiped out the John's challenge pretty quick. Maybe folks will do the same with yours.
Yeah, let's face it. I'm an old lady and disabled on Social Security. If I can do it, hey.
You know what? I meant to tell you. Agnes showed me the Fodel's house.
Yeah.
And it's just charming. It's just lovely.
It's almost 100 years old.
Wow. And you guys worked like crazy on that, I know.
Yeah. There's almost 200 rose bushes here.
Donald's roses.
Donald's roses.
Beautiful. Well, Susan, you have a wonderful evening. We'll see how your challenge comes out.
You have a wonderful evening, and give my love to Agnes.
I sure will. Thanks a bunch.
Okie doke.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
And that's News Ninja Susan calling from Oregon. Hey, welcome to the program.
Homo Nomo. I saw a special on E! True Hollywood Stories about that. It was about the pink exiled sheep from the Teletubbies. Homo Nomo.
The E! True Hollywood Story.
Yeah, it was very compelling.
Oh, it had to be.
I mean, I learned a lot about Homo Nomo's past, including being just cut him out of the whole Teletubbies deal.
It's sexual Teletubby McCarthyism.
I'm telling you, someone needs to start an organization immediately. Forget Bradley Manning. Let's go to Homo Nomo.
God, doesn't Marcus Bachman just make you want to scream?
You've seen the
corn dog triptych, I trust.
Yeah, yes, I did. I googled that as they I did see the Michelle one, but I had not seen the Marcus Bachman one. That was a.
Scream no teeth, Marcus?
Yes, it does. It is. It's completely surreal, and it's too bad he's not a. It's too bad he's not a Democrat. He would be everywhere. it's sad, but that's the truth.
I mean, yeah, well, it is. It is.
You brought up the point, and I think this needs to be hit home, point blank. Doesn't matter what photo Michelle Bachman has, unless it's with a dead child around her neck, a dead baby around her neck, then they'll pay attention to that. But
yeah, and write a story about how she was trying to save it.
Yeah, and the thing is though,
even if her fangs are bared.
Yeah, something like this though is it really does strike home to the fact that they can get away with literally anything when it comes to these photos and the news media. I would say that it's a pretty safe bet that a lot of the news media is scared to death of treading in those waters for being labeled, branded.
Liberal media.
Yeah. And you can see what happened with CNN. You can see what's happening with MSNBC. I thought that was an interesting comment that somebody made I forget who made it, but this person made a comment about the MSNBC only having the liberal radio hosts block to block at night.
Yeah, no kidding.
And again, I mean, people have to understand what that means and why that is, and they have to understand how corporate news networks work. They don't want to give you solutions, people. So don't get excited about any time they have a liberal on the networks or a pseudo liberal, whatever you want to call them. They're not going to give you solutions. They're going to give you what if scenarios all day long, like the History Channel, Ancient Aliens. That's basically what it's come down
to. It's all cowboys versus aliens now, isn't it?
Yes, yes. And you know, the biggest problem is that we are dealing with so many more ends, and they have the space on 24/7, like that thing I sent to you with Bill Maher and the Hoover lady, and the fact that
Oh, Jesus, God. That woman. You know, I'm still not over that.
You know, I didn't know this until I saw her on Bill Maher, but she goes all over the place. I heard her on Alan Colmes talking about millennials, and she's nailing those points over and over and again. And that's what people need to understand. These bullet points, for lack of a better word, talking points, whatever you want to call it, bumper stickers, they know what the hell they're doing. And when I look at someone like Rick Perry, and I look at how he's coming out, and I look at how the media is just set to fawn over this guy, like the days of George Bush, and then to apologize if he does get elected. Well, we didn't know this could happen. I was watching all the tell signs of this guy on stage. It's like they're running W 2.0. Oh, the same.
Yeah, did you catch James Howard Kunstler's analysis of Perry today?
No, I missed that.
I read this one early and just, check this. This is some beautiful writing. You were talking about, you know, the media said, well, we didn't know he'd turn out to be a goddamn moron. Looking every inch the assistant manager of a JCPenney, Rick Perry of Texas stepped on board the touring evangelical freak show and the Republican pre-primary parade has turned into. I like to think of him as, and this is the pull quote, I like to think of him as George W. Bush without all the encumbering intellect. I give it 3 months before the media snoops catch him in bed with Michelle Bachmann. The two of them will claim it was all right because Jesus was there as chaperone, and anyway, all we did was watch the Vikings-Cowboys game. Yeah, George W. Bush without all the encumbering intellect.
Rick Perry, he reminds me of the perfect generic president in a B action movie with Chuck Norris or Steven Seagal. Here comes the president. and he tells you what they're going to do about the threat that's facing the nation.
Yeah, well, I wish there was some way to find out, I'm sure it's somewhere on the Think Progress website, but that photo that they ran all weekend of Rick Perry, in which he really did, he looked like little Damien all growed up.
I'm sure it's in the Google cache.
And the thing is, he's a lunatic. I mean, no, really. He's crazy, you know? These are bullet points that Think Progress thought up based on, or bullet points that Matt Iglesias from Think Progress unearthed from Rick Perry's November 2010 book, Fed Up, Our Fight to Save America from Washington. Okay. Now, sit down, David.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know some history stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The Civil War was caused by slave owners trampling on northern states' rights. Yeah, see, the same thing happened to me.
Yeah.
And this is the quote from the book. We can never know what would have happened in the absence of federal involvement. He's talking about the Civil War. We can never know what would have happened in the absence of federal involvement. See, the Civil War was a matter of an overreaching federal government.
Right.
What kind of bad brown acid do you have to drop to get there, David?
Pretty down there, wavy gravy style.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is the breathing walls and the ferns turning into snakes and shit like that, right?
Mm-hmm. It's another sign that you can literally say, you couldn't do this. It's so clear now. You couldn't do this in the 1950s or the 1960s. They would be so on you if you made a gaffe like that. And the fact if you were a Republican, but the fact that they've completely hammered our media machine to smithereens where it comes with anything regarding accuracy is like evil. There's some serious opaque times, I guess, we are all veering into and it's getting opaquer by the minute. This is why the thing about Rick Perry, and this is what liberals should understand, is that if you were to talk about George Bush in the same breath before the elections, most of those liberals would be laughing if they were just following the news headlines, because it's basically the same setup where they say, I don't think Rick Perry has much of a shot because of his far right leaning ways. He's going to have to tone down some of his religious rhetoric. It's just a mayor, just like another Republican. And that can all be tweaked, ladies and gentlemen. It can all be taken away. It can all be eviscerated. And all of a sudden, he's running like a W champ, and then everyone's saying, holy cow, nobody could have seen it. Look at him go. Look at the white man go from Texas. Oh, my God, go, white man, go.
What are the chances of us having another Texas governor? Oh, my God, what a news story.
The only question, though, and this is the question we keep asking ourselves. If Rick Perry makes a serious go for it and he looks like he's going to go all the way with it, do the Republicans really want him to be the presidency, and or is it a fluke? And that's the question you always have to keep asking yourself, because they don't need the presidency. They don't give a shit about that. That's just a theater position. They own the courts. They own all the corrupt corporations.
See, I go down that road periodically as well, David, because I ask myself questions like, wouldn't it be nice if you had a really goofy presidential race and in the meantime, in the background, you were busily consolidating your hold on the House and taking over the Senate, when you know that you've already got an incumbent Democratic president who
right.
doesn't mind the notion of maybe gutting Medicare and Social Security?
They want to continue blaming the black guy. So you have to ask yourself. I mean, and here's the other question. Don't celebrate if Obama wins his second term. Don't celebrate if a progressive wins his second term. Because the point is they're just going to F it up next time around. Because they're bound to win eventually. That's the numbers they play. And they play it already to rig games.
Yeah.
So they're like, the next 4 years, if we don't get it, that's okay. We own the South. We own the South. You think Obama will make a tour with his armored bus to the South?
Oh, hell no, David. That's a discussion that's been going on my Facebook page for a while, with our old buddy Joe Vecchio chiming in. And Joe's position is basically that the South is useless. The South is not worth fighting for.
Yeah.
The South is the problem. I got to push back against that, because it would be convenient if Michelle Bachmann was from Alabama, but she's not. It would be convenient if Mitt Romney was from Alabama, but he's not. It would be convenient if Steve King of Iowa was from Alabama, but he's not. It would be extremely convenient if the darling freshman teabagger Joe Walsh, you know, the deadbeat dad, was from the Deep South, but no, he's from Illinois. So you can't just say, well, you know, clearly this is a problem with the South.
Well,
maybe a whole bunch of teabaggers are Southerners, but believe me and trust me when I say, David, that the disease has metastasized.
Well, you know, the one thing that I would say to Joe Vecchio is he needs to understand that everything is going to be an uphill climb. We wouldn't say that about the civil rights, and we really shouldn't say that about the South going more progressive, because it's going to haunt us later on, and we're going to be in the same position where we are, that we don't have solar and wind in this country. Oh, like we should have started on that in 1980. We should have been more proactive in it. It's the same type of thing, Joe. It's the same type of thing. And one last thing before I go, I'm interested in what you were mentioning the other night about sabotage on your vehicle. It's official, huh?
Well, I mean, I haven't called the cops, and I'm not gonna.
Yeah, I know.
Because frankly, that would just help get the word out a little bit more.
Right, right, right.
But I mean, it's I don't know. Maybe I'll go under and crawl under and take a picture. But it's not, you know, it's not something that a piece of rock flying up would do.
Right.
First of all, those things are designed not to be punctured by pieces of rock flying up. It is a straight hole. Okay.
So does this make you think about when you were having that septic problem?
No, that wasn't. If it was, I'd say so, but it really wasn't. That was just a septic system that failed that was here since, since the place was built in the late 30s, and a little bit of unneighborliness into the bargain. But no, I mean there are other events. I mean there are
right.
There were the jack rocks that were thrown in the driveway to destroy my tires. You know, there's the verbal abuse that the kids have been subjected to.
Mm.
I mean it is what it is, and God knows there are others who have faced far worse. You know, remember Judy Bonds, who at that time, unbeknownst to her, had cancer growing in her body, was attacked by a mountaintop removal supporter,
right,
and beaten in the head. The woman who did it got probation and was told to go and sin no more. You remember the mountaintop removal supporter who threatened to slash the throat of a man and his 4-year-old child. The offices of Coal River Mountain Watch have been vandalized in the past. These are, if you watched the thing on CNN last night, you did see one mountaintop remover, mountaintop removal supporter. They didn't show his head, of course, but it was just a picture of his chest, and he had written on it, "I killed a hippie today."
Yeah.
It's a little dodgy.
I hope that it's not, it seems like it's, this gas tank move is like a sign of escalation, and that's some serious...
Everybody knows I smoke. You know,
yeah.
I wish I didn't, but it was in such a place that, you know, I could throw down a cigarette and blow myself to Mars.
Or
a member of my family.
One last thing before I go, just to make us all feel inadequate. Will Smith's daughter... Willow Smith has just made $4 million on her single. $4 million on her single.
Whoa.
And she's 10 years old.
No, stop it. What?
Yeah, Willow Smith. She's signed to Jay-Z's label, Roc Nation. And Whip My Hair was such a success that I don't know how many downloads it had. It's kind of like a... similar to, I guess, like with the Soulja Boy craze. And there were so many downloads on it that she was able to... But, you know, that points to something even more disturbing to me, is the fact that we have all this out-of-whack compensation for celebrities, for corporate America, for private citizens. And we are so inundated with so much crap in this country, we can't even see the scheme that's going on now. It's all out of whack, Bob. You know.
Everything is.
Everyone getting compensated all of these extraordinary astral amounts, and we're getting left with less than dirt. Oh man.
And what we've got left, they want that too.
Yeah, they want the less than dirt. They want the dust, Bob. they want the dust. They're out there in the air saying,
Our dust.
I can catch it. Right. They're out there with a Sennheiser vacuum cleaner just going, I got it. Or a Dyson vacuum cleaner, bagless. Just, I got it all. I got to get it all. Everything.
Mine.
It's, Bob, something has to change or this country is going to implode on itself.
It's hard not to agree with you.
But with that, Bob, I lead you on to your other caller. And, one last thing. Everyone, these are harsh times. We should contribute to to keep on with the horn being sustainable for the future.
Thank you, David, and thank you for your help.
And one last thing. For anyone that wants to call in, because I know sometimes you don't say it enough, Bob, 1-877-HEAD-ON. If you're just listening now, 1-877-HEAD-ON. If you are a new listener, now is the time to call and voice whatever it is that's on your chest. And with that, I'm out.
All right. Thanks, David. Take care.
All right, Bob. Later.
Bye now. 10 years old. A 10-year-old. A 10-year-old has a $4 million in... Oh, oh, good work if you can get it. Let's do keep things rolling. As David said, the number is 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. On your nickel, 304-658-3333, and hey, welcome to the program.
Brother Bob.
Cossack, what's happening, man?
Well, not much, self.
Another day in Happy Valley.
You know, I missed that thing on Blair Mountain, and now that I hear it, I'm glad I did.
I watched it twice. I watched it when it first ran, and I watched the Pacific Coast rerun later, and it didn't get any better the second time around.
I was hoping this was going to be about the history of the Blair Mountain insurrection. The fact.
No, no, that was maybe 30 seconds.
And it's good I didn't watch it. I think it would have joined Sue in becoming hoarse, screaming at that.
Yeah, there wasn't even any mention of Big Bill Blizzard. I mean, it's a fascinating and moving piece of American history, and it got 45 seconds. Meanwhile, a bunch of ignorant mountaintop remover wives got minute after minute after minute. These tree huggers, they want our jobs.
Well, let me quiz you, Bob. What are they going to do? What kind of jobs are they going to have when there ain't no mountains left to knock down?
Oh, that'll be hundreds and hundreds of years from now. My God, there was one idiot on there. What do you say to people who think that you shouldn't destroy God's creation? Well, I think if God put a seam of coal 200 foot from the surface that you can't get by deep mining, he meant for us to blow up the mountains. And then there was the guy who was asked about the heritage of Blair Mountain and the Battle of Blair Mountain, and he said, well, I'd like to see it kept for history. I understand that. But if it means jobs for 300 or 400 people, I say flatten it.
Yeah, why not? Who gives a shit about the next generation?
Yeah, who needs history?
And aren't these the people who are always mewling about the children?
Oh sure, I'm sure they go to church and they're just as pro-life as they can be, unless it's lives that they're poisoning so that they can have so that their wives can have new bulbs in the tanning bed every year.
And what the hell's going to happen to the economy of West Virginia once they're done with their demo work? I'll bet you dollars to donuts that there's more jobs and more money made in West Virginia from whitewater rafting, from hiking, from, you know, historic outings to places like Blair Mountain that aren't going to be there. The only thing that they're going to have is, you know, tours to sacrifice sites. Ain't nobody going to be gray water rafting.
Ooh. There's one. Come to West Virginia, blackwater rafting.
Here you go. And you know that wonderful man-made lake. Yeah, you take your rubberized canoe out in that thing and see how long it lasts. Like maybe a half hour.
Paddle fast, you bastard.
Yeah, and then right? You get dumped in the drink, of which you better not drink unless you really want to die soon.
Bingo.
What's wrong with these people? Are they totally bereft of any kind of brain power at all?
Yes.
Oh, I shouldn't ask that.
Well, no, I mean, they're just not the brightest bulbs in the socket. I mean, they're not. I mean, if you can't... That idiot over the... Well, there ain't no deer coming down here and getting a drink and dropping dead.
Yeah, he wants to live in a dystopian cartoon.
Yeah, I ain't seen no fish floating belly up on the river.
Yeah, has he noticed there's fewer of them each year?
Well, that was the first thing I thought. Are there any fish in the damn river? Just asking? Right.
Not that many. And certainly a lot fewer than there were.
And some of them are Simpson fish, remember?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's been documented. The Coal River has Simpson fish in it. And for those who don't get the metaphor, you know, three-eyed fish. Fish with incomplete twisted spines.
Yeah.
Involuntarily genetically modified heavy metal fish. And by that, I don't mean they've got long hair and spandex fins.
But them's good eating.
Hee-wee.
Yeah, right.
I know.
Minamata much?
No kidding. There's that word again, Minamata. Do you get the Travel Channel?
Yeah.
You going to watch Bourdain tonight?
Yeah.
That takes a little guts to go there. And you know what? It reminds me of the fact that the Ukrainian government said that they wanted to turn Chernobyl into a tourist site. And there's that disaster tourism you mentioned a little bit ago.
Exactly. It is a great national sacrifice zone, Chernobyl. Don't stand too close.
Don't drink water.
Don't breathe the air. It's like the folk song they had back in the 60s about pollution. You know, like lambs to the slaughter. They're drinking the water and breathing the air.
That would be us, Cossack.
That's it.
Jeebus.
You are there.
Yeah, only without the Walter Cronkite voice, right?
Correct. Just the big red X.
Elodium Fosdex, the shaving cream molecule. God. Yeah, it's a little much. It's a little much. But the funny thing is, I have heard that CNN is just busting its buttons proud of that piece.
I think Solidarity.
Because they outed what a crappy job the Army Corps does. And, that much is true.
Yeah.
But that's not the story. People dying for this stuff is the story.
Yeah. And they don't even touch on it, I'm sure.
No. There was no mention of the fact that we buried our executive director last January, who died from preventable cancer and lived around a coal prep plant nearly all her life. Oh, hell no. Why would you do that? Well, you know, there's no causation.
Yeah, right. There's only causation if you want it to be there. The terrorists must have been behind the thing in Norway. We know it. It has all their hallmarks.
Right.
Oops.
Never mind. Emily Latella. Cossack, good to hear from you, brother.
Good talk to you, Bob.
All right, hang in there. Let me know what you think of the Bourdain segment tonight.
Will do. Give Agnes a big hug and big hugs to the kids.
I sure will. You take care now.
All right, you too.
Bye. From North Florida, longtime listener, the Cossack. And moving onward. Hey, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Brother Bob.
Brother Albert.
Hey, I'll tell you, it's nice to see you highlighted in Jeff Bigger's article regarding the CNN story as one of the leaders of Appalachia.
Oh, I didn't take it like that.
Well, let's say, you know, it's nice to see you out there. It's nice to see people calling on you as a, you know, a source, and your letter was beautiful, as were all the others. I mean, you know, I love, you know, the thing that sticks in my craw is when they talk about 100 years, hundreds of years. Oh, there's hundreds of years of this stuff.
God, oh, you know what? They're making more every day.
Yeah, well, not only that, let's just say they, let's even pretend they are. Let's pretend they're little earth gnomes that do make coal.
No, they're little coal Keebler elves, Albert.
Yeah, exactly. They're little gnomes, right? And they're in the earth and they're making coal. What my question is there may be a 10,000 years of coal in the earth. What makes you think by us going and consuming it, destroying mountains and burning it, that we're going to be able to be around that long? And what the hell is the world going to look like if we do go after that right now? I don't know, Blade Runner.
That was the first one for me. Welcome to Blade Runner.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think...
that perpetual rain in that perpetual rain in L.A. down on ground level, yeah.
Always black or super hazy, bright buildings everywhere and fire and drilling for oil and, it's not a planet, man. That's not the roadmap. That's the warning sign, fool. I personally didn't watch it. I think we all know what to expect from them. I mean, granted, I love to be pleasantly surprised with a real good piece. And part of me wants to say, well, you know, at least the door is cracked open. But it sounds to me, because I didn't watch it, and I don't know if my heart can take it, but it sounds to me like any kind of crack that maybe they opened up to further this discussion was mortared over. Is that about right?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
I don't need to see it.
It's like, I'm just looking at a tweet that came through from someone by the name of Red Mountain. She's a college professor, wine lover, foodie, music geek, environmentalist, and feminist. And she said, we think battle for Blair's jobs versus the environment frame was forced and not supported by facts.
Awesome.
And, I mean, you know what, and this is a good point to discuss. You know, there's actual influence, and there's subliminal influence. Actual influence is when somebody comes up and says, now, don't you talk about them cancers, right? The subliminal stuff is when you think, wait a minute, I'm making a nice payday here. And so is my producer, and my editor, and my cameraman, and my sound guy. We're making nice money. Got a good living in a country where there's a whole lot of people out of work. We get a whole lot of advertising money from the coal industry. Reckon if we point out that they're actively killing thousands of West Virginians, they might pull that advertising money? Let's not find out.
Root of all evil, baby.
Well, I mean, am I off planet on that?
No, we're off planet. We got presidential candidates talking about how corporations are people. Like, that's something to say. Like, corporations are people, my friends. I love how you got the McCain lingo in there too with it. My friends. Oh, just hearing that just curdles the
blood. Doesn't it just make your hair just...
Yeah, I mean, that's the arsenic, heroin, tarball combo when they sit there and talk about corporations of people. Now, granted, you know, he says that after the legal press...
Kind of makes you just want to run out and knock over a Coinstar, doesn't it?
Nah, actually, hang on, I'm almost appreciative of it. I hear what you're saying, but I'm almost appreciative of it. Because... people who may not have, you know, when you say that to people before he said that, you know, they might not, you know, like hear you out. They might say, what the hell is he talking about, corporations, people? How could they possibly be people? Right?
Right.
You know, that guy, you see that pig looking over there? He just said they're people. That's who he thinks are people, and that's whose votes he really cares about. their people. Oh, so then just like that's why, you know, guys can sit there and say, oh, I'm going to start up a corporation. I'm not going to give $1 million to Mitt Romney. I'm going to close this corporation.
Well, you know, I mean, it does make you think along certain lines because, you know, no corporation has ever been sent to prison, hasn't it? That's why I said, let's go knock over a Coinstar. Let's just incorporate, knock over a Coinstar, and when they come to take us to jail, I'm sorry, we're a corporation, we're people, and you can't do it. I mean, isn't that beautiful?
Well, all animals are equal.
Some animals are more equal. Some pigs are more equal than other pigs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, animals can't lay in beds with sheets. Right?
Right, exactly.
I mean, four legs bad, two legs better? Is that what it is? I forget how that works. Yeah. Oh, you know, No, four legs good, two legs bad, and then they switch to better. That's what I want to hear. I want to hear that. I want to see. I'm one of those guys that I always comment that. Anytime I see any kind of corporate, you know, Citizens United case or anything related to that, that's what I'm telling you. That's a very effective line.
Yeah, two all legs animals. Good, no legs better.
Yeah. Well, all animals are equal. Some animals are more equal than others, and that's what they're saying when they're talking about money equals speech. You don't have. You can't compete with that. $1 million? I couldn't give $1 million to any candidate I want. I mean, if I give $1 million, Bob, I can give you 10 here, I can give you 50 here, I can give you 25 here, and this, that, there. If I could give you $1 million, I'd give it to you. But to them, that's telling me that to these people, $1 million is like 10, 50 bucks, 100 bucks.
Yeah, chump change.
What the hell is that? You got too much money if that's what you can do with it. And why do you get to say so much? You've got your money. Everyone else is trying. Go sit down.
Yeah, well, we went from one man, one vote to 1 million, one vote.
Goodness. Just hideous. It's disgusting. You know.
Speaking of disgusting, I got a link to an old appearance by a crazy lady. It's up on YouTube. She showed up on some right-wing friend of Jesus show. Her name is Kim Simak. She is apparently running for some state senate seat in Wisconsin in the next round of elections. She's running against a Democrat. Have you got a minute for a little bit of crazy? You're going to love this, Albert.
Religious freedoms.
Are we going to be able to hire and fire whoever we want? I mean, yes, it's very frightening. You know, they talk about, not being able to have our ministers say what they please and stand up for what's right.
Right now, you can't even talk about Romans chapter 1.
Right.
You're told not to.
Right. And, you know... Really, if we do more looking into what is in the Constitution, we really need to stand up for the rights of God in our Constitution because they have really twisted that.
They have.
They have. I mean, the fact that the separation of church and state is not...
It's not there.
No. Right.
It was founded on In
right.
God We Trust.
Right.
If there was a separation, then why would we put In God We Trust?
Right.
Exit screaming.
America was founded on In God We Trust.
Oh,
that's why it didn't go on to the money until 1954.
They are painfully stupid.
Well, I love that. You know, we've got to take a deeper look at the Constitution. Damn, it was only one. You know, it's only one piece of parchment, two tops, in longhand.
Well, you know, they read into things, you know.
Looking for a loophole.
They read into certain, some words just stick out more than others to them. You know, it's like, I mean, this is why they can't cook food. Because they don't know how to read recipes. You know, they hear the one or two ingredients that they like, and they put a lot of that in there. You know, hey.
I call it.
I don't have a problem with.
Praise Jesus, I call this my salt salad. It's salt.
Salt and mayonnaise.
I mean, it's an old family recipe.
Miracle Whip. Yeah. I mean, you know, you and I know, see, being liberal, having critical thinking skills, you realize that, you know, every word has its place. Conservative has its place. It does. Yeah. You support war and resources and air and that you serve things, care for them. Privatized. Your privacy is, that should be privatized, but not military privatizing laundry duty to the soldiers. That shouldn't be privatized. Security shouldn't be privatized. Resources shouldn't be privatized. Oh, there I go again.
Yeah, see what happens?
It's true. I mean, it's just a fact of matter. You know, you can't trust these people for nothing. Ever. Because what do? They get more power and they want more power. There was a very interesting article also regarding, I read it earlier this morning, quite before I had my full cup of coffee. But it was a four-page, you know, article talking about who, you know, why this economy, who's this economy, you know, who's responsible for this economy. And he's pointing right at all the corporate lobbyists and the corporate CEOs and so on and so forth. And how, and he kind of outlined, I forget the guy's name, some Pulitzer Prize or whatever. But he's sitting there talking about how they, you know, they wanted to sit there and just kind of get a couple, you know, shave a few points. But then they started to win, so they put more money in and more money in and more money. And now it's this complete out of control, deregulated, nonsensical mess. And it's complete, you know, the coils and the springs are unsprowned and they're around the sockets and the gears and the smoke and broken and everything. Pillars and everything smashed down to the ground. And they're like, well, how did this happen? And it's their fault. They're not, you know, they're the ones that are sitting there that pay for this.
And then they say to you, well, we can't play the blame game.
But it's so
when they're caught, You know, it has taken me because I literally started, because it was just this cute, dumb little thing that I did when the babies were born. I would look at their precious little faces and I would say, Daddy loves you very much. And here's a very important thing for you to know as you grow up. All liability is based on fault. And they could all repeat that at a tender age, but it's something that is really, really kind of hard to get your head around, Albert. Because children want to say, but I didn't mean to. And that's what these, you know, that's what these godforsaken teabaggers and, by the way, a new phrase from Matt Osborne, teahadists. They're waging teahad on us. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
That's just dandy. Uh-huh. But, you know, they're wrecking the economy. They have wrecked the economy.
Yes, sir.
The off-the-books credit card wars that they were so keen to wage under George W. Bush and extend under Barack Obama, they can't seem to bring themselves to talk about that as a function of their failure, you know, the failure of their economic policies. And in other words, you know, they'll look up and say, okay, I guess we got a problem here, but we didn't mean to. And they use things like what our buddy Tosh pointed out to me in an email today. He said, he said, in fact, I was listening to your conversation with Albert about investment, and I think you can take it all one step further. Those aren't just investments. They are jobs. Spending cuts equal job cuts. And I don't know if God knows the for-profit media isn't interested in talking much about it, but we have lost tens of thousands of federal government jobs because we're going to be austere and we're going to get our financial house in order and we're going to buckle our belts down tight and lift ourselves up by our bootstraps and share some sacrifice. Well, those budget cuts that the godforsaken teabaggers want are job cuts. Those are American working people, Albert, that these godforsaken teahadists are throwing out on the damn street and can't make mortgages and can't make car payments and can't keep the lights paid on. And that works its way down, of course, into other people losing jobs.
You know, Tosh points out, he says, I don't know if you've heard the right-wing talking point about the Postal Service. It's got a multi-billion dollar deficit. Postal Service has got to go, right?
Yeah.
Well, Tosh points out, it's a constitutionally mandated service.
Mm.
Consider the deficit of the Defense Department. That deficit is in the trillions, but you never hear a teabagger talking about that now, do you? We got to shut down the Pentagon. They got them a deficit. Got to tighten their belts. Nope, not a word. God, I hate them, Albert.
There was an article about that. The golden age of the military, all the contractors, is coming to an end. And that's also coming to an end as well. But the thing that really just gets to me is because they are only military. They only want to spend military. They don't want to spend on anything else. It's like, where do you think, I don't know who the military is going to protect. Are we all going to be the military?
Yeah, are we all going to work at Walmart someday?
If we're lucky.
Yeah.
Of course, the plasma physicists and the electrical engineers will be homeless and destitute.
Sitting by the side of the road, we'll think for food.
Yeah, it's filthy. It's filthy. And, it's like Obama's job stimulus bill. I sat there and I read a little bit of it. There's good things about it. And then where does it go? It's like a driveway that comes up, a tenth of the way up your yard. What the hell is that?
Yeah, a driveway that doesn't come all the way to the house ain't a driveway.
I mean, come on. It's like, I don't understand.
A bridge that stops halfway across the river and spills you into the drink is not within the pure platonic essential definitional arrangement a goddamn bridge. It's not a bridge. It's a thing that throws you in the river.
Is that building leaning over? I think it might fall. Now let's get some rope and tie it to the other one. Keep them safe. I mean, because that's what when you said the bridge, the half-built bridge, it popped the doctor's office visit into my mind. Good, unscannable. That's what it is.
But that's all right. My ex-wife's a tarted, and she's an airline pilot. But they do, they do. They look at all this stuff, they holler for these budget cuts and sit there and keen about deficits. And then people wind up losing their damn jobs as a result of it. And what's the teabagger response? It's the same thing as the four-year-old response, Albert.
Yes, sir.
Well, we didn't mean to.
Oh, they don't even admit that.
And right, and you look at them and you go, all liability is based on fault.
See, your four-year-olds and my four-year-olds and whomever else's four-year-olds that's listening, I'm sure that we have another couple group of parents out there that whose kids don't really tell them and try to lie to them. But you know how kids are. They're there. I didn't do it. And that's what they're at. I didn't do it. And now they're creating, there's a man in my toy box, and he came out and he did it, and he was a soldier, and then he took all the jobs away, and he got us into debt, and he got us into three wars, and he attacked us on 9/11 too, and he's a Muslim, and he's a this, and he's a that, and that's what it is. That's exactly what it is. It's 4 year olds sitting there. I didn't do it, and creating a story. About how the, and that's what it is. It's all chaff. We all know that. It's all bullshit. I mean, come on. Give me a freaking break. He's born in Kenya. He's a Muslim this. He's a this or this. Everyone knew. We knew where the freaking economy was beforehand, and now they still, it's his $14 trillion deficit. Now, I'm going to try. I mean, because the Fs and the MFs and everything else want to come flying in my mouth right now. You know me, Bob. I don't have that kind of, I get all stumbled if I can't just curse, It's like Ricky from the Trailer Park Boys when he's in court. So I can't drink. If I can't drink and swear, I'm fucked. Anyway, sorry. The way of the road. The way she goes, bud. The way she goes. And what are we doing about this? We sit here and, we try to prove it. Oh, he's, I don't even understand it. Are we getting rope doped? No.
Well, look, okay, okay.
Popular opinion, right?
Yeah, yeah, it's rope doped. Yeah, 11-dimensional chess. 33-dimensional chess. 72-dimensional...
42.
Checkers. It's checkers, okay?
Checkers. Yeah, checkers.
And the funny thing is about checker players, there's an art and there's a science and there's a skill to playing checkers, Albert.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you sit down with one of those old fellas at the country store with the checkerboard on top of the salt the cracker barrel.
Mm-hmm.
We'll play for peanuts this time. And the next thing you know, you're walking out without any clothes on because that old guy has cleaned your clock because he knows every place that every checker on the board can go at any given moment. And
he's setting you up for it, but
right, you know, it's a hustle. But you know, it is Moran Monday, and I got to share this with you because this is a screamer. This is one of those run out into the yard, and thank God you've got those lovely big high privet hedges because you know, mommy, daddy's run screaming at naked out into the yard again. Go get the stun gun. And you know, I know she would. But. So, on Meet the Press,
yay,
it was on Saturday. It was Saturday on, of course, NBC, and David Gregory.
Oh, I knew it was him. Okay.
Yeah. David Gregory, who I've given him a new Indian name, dances with robes. Yeah, see, I knew that one would work.
Oh, that's painful. You brought that one right back into the brain.
Yeah.
Don't go seeking that one, people. That's painful. MC Rove. Oh, why did you do that? Bob, you're cruel.
But isn't that a great name, Dances with Roves?
Oh, it's just...
So Joe Sudbay writes an article over at America Blog, which is an excellent...
yes.
Excellent, excellent site. He's the one who caught this whole thing. And David Gregory is talking, prattling along in his for-profit media way, Albert, in conversation with Chuck Todd, which, as Joe Sudbay notes, just makes it painful. It's like watching Larry and Curly without the mitigating genius of Moe. Chuck Todd says, Perry Obama would be a picture of sharp contrasts. A contest for the presidency, you understand. Perry Obama would be a picture of sharp contrasts. See, that's the kind of stuff you say when you're making a horse gagging load of money in the for-profit media. Oh, you talk about sharp contrasts. But then David Gregory, Dances with Roves, one-ups him. Sit back down. Strap in. Strap in. This is one of those God, if only Bill Hicks was still here moments. David Gregory replies, you know, Perry talked about potentially seceding from the Union. You think that's extreme. Well, people on the other side think that introducing health care reform for the whole country is akin to European socialism.
Go
get me the hockey mask because it's not going to be safe to be around me. Jesus. The for-profit media and David Gregory, Dances with Roves, actually said, live on television, with people really watching and knowing it, that wanting to secede from the Union is the same thing as wanting all Americans to have health care. That is, I'm not speaking figuratively, Albert. That is the same thing as David Gregory saying that Medicare and the Civil War are the same thing. You know how the quote from In Court in Trailer Boy, you know, if I can't, I'm... See, I'm almost at a point, I mean, this, and I've been ever since I read this story, almost at a point of being entirely nonverbal. Just sitting around making animal grunting noises over stupidity like this.
What else can you...
David Gregory of the for-profit media, who cannot breathe if he's not breathing through a false equivalency, Albert, says that Medicare is the same thing as the Civil War. I'm pounding on furniture now.
Too bad you don't have any TVs left. If I had a TV, I'd like to shoot a TV for old time's sake, just for that. I don't have any more. They're all gone. Bush, you know, by the time we got, what, through 3 years of him, I was done with TVs. But he is ridiculous. That guy, you know, what kind of world do these people live in? What is this? What land? What magical land is this? What the?
See, there we go. We're just, all the words are failing.
Well, that's because they're all curse words, and I'm not trying to, you know. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Everyone can hear it. I hope so, everyone can hear it.
Well, yeah, you're just down to caveman grunts. Just grunts, clicks, and whistles.
Yeah. That's right, yeah. It boils your brain down. You just say, for what? What? How? That doesn't make any sense. That white sure is black. What the hell is that? I don't even understand. It doesn't make any sense.
That down-up is the darndest up I've ever seen.
It's hyperventilating. My solar plexus is confused. It doesn't know whether to go up or down. That's how stupid that is. And I don't even know. See, part of me, and we all know, and then the other part of me, I don't think it's so much stupid. I think it's intentional. There's no way you could be that stupid. That's sort of trying to play us. In a way, Dick Gregory, whatever his name is, Dick Gregory, what's his name?
David.
What's his name?
David Gregory.
Yeah, Dick fits better, but Gregory over there sits there and talks. He makes Thomas over there sound sane and like reasonable. And that guy is another one. He makes him sound, I don't even understand. What is he talking about? That guy, Gregory, he's on the list. That guy, I saw him do the dance.
Oh, hell, he's gone on the list.
I always kind of knew, it was like, but he's just trying to be fair. No, you fool. Not trying to be fair. He's filth.
Yeah.
Oh, that guy's filth. God, that's filth.
I mean, I'm just so not over it. Let's say it again. Dick, see how easy it is? David Gregory asserted that Medicare is the same thing as the Civil War.
It is contrast, though. It's crazy insane. That's what it is.
Yeah, but you know what? Open up your photo editing program, Albert. You can crank the contrast so high that it's not a picture anymore.
Amen. True.
And this is that. I mean, you can't reach from point A to point. No, it's not. And the thing is, there's nobody there when he's pontificating in his for-profit media way. You know, Chuck Todd, come on, Chuck, reach across. Just slap the spit right out of his mouth when somebody says something like that. You know, you damn dummy.
He is a dummy. Yeah, but no, he won't do that.
No, hell no.
No way. Oof. Yeah, Todd. No, that's what it is. Tad. I'm sorry. Not Tom. Tad.
I know.
Another one. Got me pacing, Bob. Yikes. Goodness. Just finding the dark globules and filth. And they're still pumping it. They don't stop, bud. I don't know. What are we going to do with the president? Not sure. I don't understand. He's not listening.
Oh, but he can't, no, but he came up with a really nice little quip today.
Did he? Oh.
Yeah, this is a winner.
Oh, okay.
After what, a year and a half, 2 years of Obama, of the right wing and the tea baggers and the tea hottists and the tea terrorists and the tea crackers and whatever, talking about, we don't want all that socialist Obamacare, right?
Mm-hmm.
Took 2 years, but he came up with a really cool response. He said, I have no problem with folks saying Obama cares. I do care. If the other side wants to be the folks who don't care, that's fine with me.
Oh. She should have said that at the beginning. And it certainly only got heavier after that. This
right.
thing with this guy. He you know, I really do, you know.
And now they'll mock him for that the way they mocked Bill Clinton for saying, I feel your pain. You know, that was a statement by a man trying to suggest that, yes, he has a conscience, he's a human, and that he has sympathy with people who are saying, I feel your pain. And it became a goddamn joke inside right-wing talk show circles. So now they're going to call him Obama Carer or Care Bear Obama. Or I mean, you know how these filthy, twisted minds work, Albert.
Absolutely. And there's nothing he can do to change their minds. You know, he just has to be the change. If he wants to see the change, right? I mean, that's what he said he was going to run on, the change. Well, then be the friggin' change. Stop coddling these people. Stop saying, oh, you know, like, Santa's not real. Stop it. They believe in Santa. Shut up. Stop. How much time did he waste not pushing forth his mandate? He's been too conciliatory with these people. And I hope he's learned his lesson. I hope he has.
You want to lay odds?
No. No, not really. Filth. Just filth. Unbelievable. He still hasn't called back the Congress into session. Make them work.
Yeah.
I mean, they have jobs. They should be thankful for it, right?
Right. How many other people with jobs out there get the entire month of August off? I mean, it'd be nice. I'd love to go to the beach.
It's disgusting. Well, at least they're going to, what was it, the Food Channel. They're not going to sit there and feature shark meat dishes anymore. I guess that's good.
Yeah.
Talking about Bourdain, I'll have to wait till the next day to catch it. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. I heard something about, you know, Gordon Ramsay went after trying to get to the body. He's like trying to be a food journalist now or something. It seems interesting.
Yeah. I don't know if one can be a food journalist and use the F word every third word.
Oh, we need more journalists to use the F word every third word. I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
They're all leaving, right? They're all gone. They're getting old and dying or killing themselves or whatever. I mean, we need more F-bombs. We need it. I mean, you know, it's still a shocker after all these years, and it probably will be for the next few generations. And who cares about future generations anyway, right? Right?
Yeah.
I got to care about your precious Christian child's, you know, precious little ears and little mind. I got to care about that, but you don't care about anybody else's future. You're going to pollute the water, pollute the air, pollute the, you know, drill, 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 baby, drill. Bigger engines, bigger cars. It was funny. I was looking at the newspaper because I try to tell them to stop sending it to me. And every day, you know, every couple months, I get a new carrier. And so they bring it over to my house, and I got to call them up again and be like, come on now. And last winter, I went to go walk out my front stairs after a snowstorm. Somebody had put one of them stupid plastic-wrapped papers on the roll on the freaking steps and bloop, 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 sliding down the stairs. It was real fun. And it made me feel real old. Anyway,
ow.
So... yeah, it was one of those kind of things. Like, you know, you got to call them up. Anyway, they keep bringing them every, you know. Give me about a four-month break, and then they bring it. It's like if you call that number, stop sending me these credit card applications. I'm tired of my freaking mailbox getting filled with these things. I don't want a credit card. If I want it, I reply. Do I reply? No, then why do you send one every week? Anyway, you know, so yeah, you call and you get it for about 6 months off, and the next thing you know, they start rolling in again. And if you don't catch it early, boom, 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 next thing you know, you got 20 of them. Anyway, so I look in the paper, and I'm looking at these cars, you know. No, just looking. And I see a Chrysler dealership. Now, everyone knows what kind of center of the economy is. I remember I was just talking about cars the other time. They didn't even have a Maxima. But the Chrysler dealership had a 300C V8 with the Hemi and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
$42,000.
Yeah, I know.
Looking like some throwback. And right underneath it there was a Challenger and a this and a that. And I'm looking at all these vehicles. And this is, I think it was on Friday, Saturday. And it just like, I felt like I was looking at one of those newspapers that I pull out of grandma's basement. You know what I mean? I felt like I was in a time war.
Right, yes.
And, I mean, it's like, what year are we in? What is this? I thought we did this decade already. And so, you know, I go on.
Oh, no, no. You haven't really been through the rabbit hole until you've actually walked into the Chrysler dealer. And there, sitting on the showroom floor, is the Dodge Charger RT Hemi 5.7 liter V8 in baby puke green with broad black striping. And green and black leather interior and a 6-speed transmission. With a sticker on it that says $55,000. Come on, Starsky, let's go.
Yeah, let's go. It's time to go, bud. No, I'm sorry.
They drove a Ford Torino. This is Dukes of Hazzard car is what this is.
Yeah, that's
this is the General Lee in green. No, I had to. No, the only way I could get Agnes and the girls home from 100 miles away was to rent a car.
Yes, sir.
And my rental is a Dodge Charger. It's only got the 6-cylinder in it, so, you know, it's a little more tolerable. But still, just for the fun of it, I stopped by the local dealer and just looked at the sticker on one of these stripped-down ones.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, $30,000.
$30,000, yeah.
For a rear-wheel drive vehicle that won't go anywhere in the snow.
And it never could handle to begin with. And it's pretty much the same. It's almost like the same thing, just with some updates, just some minor updates. You know, it's about the same length as the old one, right? Same width, almost. You know, big, overcompensating doors. You know, just a bunch of weight. It's just a bunch of weight and...
The phrase I think we're looking for, Albert, is lead sled.
Lead sled, yeah. I mean, you know, and I don't know. I mean, you know, so they sit there and they do that. And I go on the Internet and I'm reading comments regarding, you know, the jobs and the, you know, budgets and this and that. And I see comments of people like, oh, Bob better make sure he doesn't become another Jimmy Carter. That's what kind of brought it all around to me. It's like, wow, so we're getting another chance to swing at the exact same pitch in the exact same location, at the bottom of the ninth, with the bases loaded, and what are we going to do?
Swing and a miss.
Or are we just going to watch?
No, we're not even going to swing. We're going to watch the ball go by. Strike three. Goodbye, sit down.
Yeah, strike three, and then we're going to vote Rick Perry in, and he's going to become the next Reagan 2, and they're going to do all kinds of crap, and they're going to have to raise taxes, of course, because they're going to have to pay for their wars, you know, Vietnam, and, come on, you know, right? It's almost the same time period. It's almost the same exact thing. It's like a friggin' fractal, and here we are again. So are we going to get off the Karras wheel, or are we going to, you know, keep insulting the wait staff? Because, you know, they think they're having some delusions about bears and waitresses. Are we going to do that, or are we going to get off? And I think it's time to get off and hit the ball, swing the pitch, go, swing it. Swing that bat. Because at least we can get, maybe we can get a single. That's one run in. If we could do, give Obama a second term. We should have gave Carter a second term. And more people need to stand up and say that. Because why? Because it's factually correct.
Wow,
because
it's factually correct. Yes.
Thank you. It is. It's factually correct. It's crisis of confidence speech. Listen to what he says. It's exactly where we are right now. Right now. Little couple tweaks here and there. Right, his lapels are a little shorter today. That's about it. Couple little. That's it. The definition's a little better now. That's it. Everything else, that's what we're dealing with: energy crisis, job crisis, inflation, or depression, and it's basically the same crap. Paying for having to pay for wars, right, and all the military, and trying to wind that back down. Now, so we got all these things that we got to readdress. And so, is now the time to put solar panels on? Well, technically, back in 79 was the time to put solar panels on every single roof. Because if we had solar panels on every single roof today, we'd be in a lot better shape. We wouldn't have to be worried about Blair Mountain or Coal River Mountain or any half of these mountains. There'd probably be a few mountains that would still be there.
Cherry Pond Mountain would still be there.
The demand wouldn't have been there. And that's the problem. That's why they want to keep the demand down for this stuff. And that's why they try to sit there and go take us to war and blow up mountains and, you know, just so some GED chick with her GED husband can have a tanning bed. which is an outrage, which is an outrage, a tanning bed. What is that big thing in the sky? What is that thing?
but it don't work in January, and Marvel and Marveline gets all puny.
But the thing is, and this is the other thing, that even if we would have listened to Carter, well, most of us would probably have Earthships now. We'd have nice big windows in our house facing the south, so even in the winter, we would have nice sunlit rooms. We would still get sun. But no, that's not the way we build houses, because we build houses inefficiently, and we build them to be exposed to the environment that, you know, the windows aren't quite, can't be as big, and, you know, the wall space and less light comes in, and you have to angle them a different way. You know, you don't angle them, you put them straight. All that kind of stuff. If we're listening, see? So now that's the only reason, you know, Obama's been a disappointment. Jimmy Carter, you know, he said that if you do your history, you do your studying, you see that he didn't do everything he should have done. And there were little things, a couple things I've read here and there were a little bit disappointing, that if I would have happened to be putting myself back in that position and supporting him, well, knowing what I know now, I'd be a little disappointed, and I was a little disappointed, just like a Barack Obama. But the man deserves, just for the historical, to change the future, the man deserves a second chance. That's all I got to say. I mean...
Well, and look, you know, sorry to be the sobering one, but, you know, consider the alternative. Really? I mean, come on, you can make President Bachman actually come out of your mouth?
For real? Or Perry? Perry Bachman ticket?
President Romney! Of course, you know, at least one of them figured, the light went on for one of them over the weekend. Little Timmy from Minnesota figured out nobody ever going to say President Pawlenty. T-Paw.
President Paul. President.
In 16, Rand Paul for president. Write it down.
What? I was kind of, well, I think Jeb will be on in 2020. He'll be on the next one. Not that, it's 2016.
Now, I'm not sure that, come on, he's not out. No, I'm not still sure that he might not. If it looks like the perfect storm has shaped up, and after Bachman and Perry beat on each other for a little bit, and after the world continues to, you know, the Obama administration said they're preparing to fight Romney, which just told me that he was not going to be the nominee. But one of the things that the Obama administration did say is, you know, when you get right down to it, the thing you can't get past with Mitt Romney is the fact that he's just plain weird. And he is. You know, what the hell was that comment the other day? Well, I'm not going to eat Barack Obama's dog food. What the was that? Then again, his real name's Willard, and rats will occasionally eat dog food, so go figure.
True. And I'm sorry, but, yeah, I'm a bigot to Mormons. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're in good company because Mark Twain didn't like him either.
It's too science. I mean, just same thing with Scientologists.
It's right. What it is mid-19th century Midwestern American Islam. It's a total ripoff of Islam with an overlay of made-up Hebrew history.
It is. Yeah.
And a convenient way for Joseph Smith to get his rocks off with whoever's wife he wanted to. Oh, no. See, I'm already doing her in the future on our own planet, so there's no harm in me getting at her now.
Yeah,
well, certainly, Brother Smith. Jesus.
God, if that's what God wants.
And God does. Speaks to me right through my hat. Seeing stones. Got them right here.
And I think, you know, we might...
Dum-dum-dum-dum-dum.
Yeah. Well, you know, people, if he is, I mean, that Mormonism is such a gaping wound. And it will be struck upon.
Well, see, that's what the Obama administration meant without saying it when they said, you know, he's just weird. That's another way for saying, you know, he wears magic underwear. I mean, come on, please. In the 21st century, he wears magic underwear. Albert, have yourself a great evening, brother.
You too, Brother Bob. Be good, brother.
Later now.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Brother Albert, the sage of Southwest Wisconsin. And listen, a couple of things happening during the conversation I wanted to let you in on. You met you met Susan's challenge, and Darlene wrote in with one of her own. And, God, this is so humbling. Because I don't ever want to do the Oral Roberts, you know, and God's going to come, you know. No. But things are damn grim here. And we've got a crisis on our hands. Another one. Last summer it was the septic system. This summer, it's the automobile, apparently. Well, and the roof. Had a thunderstorm pass through. Getting used to the thump, but, well, never mind. But Darlene calling in with a $100 challenge. And thanks to a donor, a contributor who has asked in the past to remain anonymous, and I think this person probably still wants to be, met and exceeded the challenge that Darlene put forward. So that, well, if nothing else, I can pay the rental bill for the next couple of days until I know when Margie's going to go for her HIDA scan because she can't have the surgery because they're rationing health care. Jeebus, you know? But thank you. Thank you so much. We will, you know, we always do because we work, you know, this is family. And we will find a way through this crisis. We will. I am convinced of it. Onward. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Juanita.
First of all, I want to thank you for bringing up the article by Russell Brand.
Oh, wasn't that amazing?
Yes, it was. I'm a big fan of his, and I like to hear him talk. You know, he just can, and he comes from being a stand-up comedian, too.
Yeah.
And still does it. I read today where one of his influences was Bill Hicks.
I had no idea.
Yeah, and Lenny Bruce and some others that, you know, like, but Lenny, Bill Hicks was number one. But anyway, I wanted to thank you for that and let you know that Cenk was also impressed by it.
Oh, good.
So, and brought it out on his show. So, but you were the first one I heard about it.
Well, there's tremendous, you know, that was a post from Crooks and Liars, and it was a post from one of my favorite writers over there, Susie Madrak, and she deserves all the credit for coming up, for finding that. It was,
She is simply an
amazingly good writer.
We're talking about eyes. To me, Terry has got the creepiest eyes.
Oh, yes,
trying.
Juanita, he has demonic eyes, if such
yes,
a thing exists.
Uh-huh. Well, the first time I really took a good look at Dick Cheney, he looked demonic to me. And this guy looks deranged.
I think Terry that's a fair assessment.
He does. He looks deranged. But, you know, isn't it interesting how Bachman, they're making money off of people that they hate?
Yes.
Isn't that something?
It's...
But, our
you know, it's sick and it's sad is what it is, Juanita.
Of course, yeah, it's sad.
But the people who follow them can't.
You think about children, you know. When I used to listen to Radio Left, and when they were on the air, and I don't know if they're on there again or not, but Jeff, you know, he's gay.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about. They were going to the school, so some school in Dallas was going to have a special party, you know, for the gay teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just crying because he said that people were coming out, you know, and calling them all kind of names and everything. And you see, see, that may not hurt the adult gays, but I know it does. But what about the children?
Well, indeed.
You know, when you think about it, because especially if you're, and you don't know what people are going to think of you, including your parents. You know, they've got a great choir out in Dallas, the gay guys, and they were interviewed, one of them, and he was talking about how his father disowned him mm-hmm. years ago.
Right.
And he thought, well, maybe, you know, he's an adult man now. Maybe his daddy has changed. But he tried to get in touch with him, and his daddy didn't want to hear from him. He said, that still hurts.
Absolutely. How could it not?
But, see, these people, I tell you, the more I learn about them, the more evil I think. I was talking to my son. I said, you know, reptilian comes to mind, but I hate to insult reptiles.
See, there you go. That's like Jeanette taking issue with me, sending Bro Fromix out to scream at the squirrels. You know, what did the squirrels ever do to you, Bob?
But anyway, it's amazing. Our governor, he's turned down a lot of.
Oh no, I think Magic Jack just went sideways on Juanita. Hopefully she'll call back. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello, Bob. How you doing?
Well, hey, Jim. How are you?
Well, I'm here.
I imagine your mornings over that way have gotten a little bit better lately, haven't they?
In what way?
Well, America's dimmest right-wing blowhard being cut back to 1 hour.
Oh, yeah, and there are all kinds of people who are very, very much upset, but they've sort of subsided. And to tell you the truth, I found better ways to spend my mornings.
Hallelujah.
Well, I mean, it was all just camp anyway, as far as I was concerned, just ignorant people making ignorant statements and basically debasing themselves without knowing it. That's just what they are. These people do that.
Oh, very much so.
But unfortunately, they're very dangerous people, too.
They are that.
And they are willing to do all types of things to people. I mean, like you've had your gasoline tank punched and, well, let me put it this way. Someone very close to me lost a pair of Michelins.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. So, you have all types of people who like to get out in the dark of night and don't have the courage to express themselves in a proper way, so they have to do it, you know, with types of Halloween pranks, or they do what the Nazis used to do with Jewish shops, and they would take things that would train a dog, you know, chemicals that would train a dog to urinate, and they would spray the chemicals all over in front of their homes and stuff like that. It's the same thing. So the dogs would, you know, defecate and urinate in front of their homes.
Right.
So, I mean, that's what we're coming to right now, really.
It certainly feels that way. And
well, it doesn't feel that way. It is that way.
Well, that's what I was saying. It's like that guy I mentioned last night on the CNN special had his chest painted with the words, "I killed a hippie today."
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that's just typical, and you can substitute faggot or tree hugger or whatever. You know, they have all types of words they use to describe people like, but yet they don't have the courage to, by the light of day, confront frontally. And that's sad. But as I said before in this program many times, history is cyclical, not linear. You know, it's a funny thing. During your hours here, I found two programs that I enjoy very much that I used to enjoy 40 years ago. The first is Sanford and Son,
Mm-hmm.
Produced by two Jewish guys. A lot of the dialogue was written by Richard Pryor.
Yes.
And I love Red Fox. I thought he was wonderful.
Oh, you know, if back when I was a kid, Jim, or, you know, like a budding teenager or whatever, if you had a Red Fox 8-track tape, man, that was better.
Of course.
I mean, that conferred cool like nothing else.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Red Fox is just an incredible comedian. And there was a certain method to his message, too. And, you know, it really was. And the second, of course, is All in the Family. You have Archie Bunker addressing with his son-in-law, Meathead, the very same issues that are being addressed today.
And yet the only difference being is that American television does not have the courage that it had in that time period to address those issues. And All in the Family could not make them on television. It wouldn't be allowed to. Just like some of the more...
And every night. Yeah. You have 1.5 hours of Red Fox and 1.5 hours of All in the Family.
No, but I mean as a new program. Say that a program like All in the Family would ever get past the network guys. No. It's no. You know, the edgiest thing on TV, on modern TV, are animated series. You know, The Family Guy and The Simpsons and maybe Futurama. And some of the stuff that comes on late at night on Adult Swim, you know, the Squidbillies and things like that. That's where the edgy is. The networks now, well, I mean, look at the, and I'm sure you remember them well, Jim. Look at the quality and the things that were addressed in comedy within the first 2 or 3 years of Saturday Night Live. You remember the skit with Richard Pryor and Chevy Chase, the word association thing?
Oh, yeah, sure do.
That would not be allowed on American television now.
Well.
Nor would the skit with Andrew Young and Garrett Morris. That wouldn't be allowed on American television.
Probably not, no. And I'm afraid it's sort of, well... I'm at least glad they have these two programs there because, as I said before, they are addressing the very same issues then that we are facing now.
Yes.
And, for example, tonight, on tonight's All in the Family, Archie inadvertently joins the Ku Klux Klan in Queens, New York. And, of course, his son-in-law, opposing him as he always did, had written a letter, and they were going to burn a cross in front of Archie's house, and not only Archie's house, but Michael Stivic's or Meathead's house. And even Archie had the strength to stand up to these guys. I don't think that they would have many people who would stand up to them now. These are frightening times.
They are, Jim. They are, and they get more so. Because, you know, people like Michelle Bachmann, and Rick Perry are out of, I'm going to say out of the closet, but not in the typical sense. They no longer feel compelled to hide behind a veil of decency. They march openly in the streets demanding or declaiming their hatreds and insisting that they be treated as legitimate portions within the political process for their hatreds.
Well, I mean, for example, like people like Dan White, who killed Harvey Milk and Mayor Moscone. I'm sure they would probably make this guy, I wonder whether they're going to drag his picture out and make him one of their icons. Remember that?
Yeah, if they haven't already.
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, the Twinkie defense and all this kind of stuff. And I can remember very well after that assassination. At first, the demonstrations were very peaceful against it. And then, of course, months later, when Dan White got off with some type of manslaughter thing, that's when they started burning police cars and the whole Castro and the whole of San Francisco that was part of Harvey Milk's district was almost turned into a Dresden. It really was.
It burned. You're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, nonviolence is a great way to react to some of these things, but eventually people are going to be pushed over to the edge, and there will be no, will be, there isn't any civility whatsoever. At least back in those days, in the 40s, I mean 40 years ago, back in the 70s and early 80s, there was a certain aura of restraint and purpose of civility. All that's gone now. That wall has broken down.
Yeah, and bear in mind that it was not broken down bilaterally. It was taken down by people of ill will who want to see America descend into chaos. And they manifest it, Jim, not only in so-called social issues. You know, my God, Michelle Bachmann said that if she became president, she would certainly reinstate Don't Ask, Don't Tell. But not just on the so-called social issues, but they want to, you know, what you see me and about how government functions, they want to tear down everything and rebuild it in their own image. I'm constantly reminded, and I don't know if you've ever gone and looked at it, but that website called Reclaim Seven Mountains that our friend Jude mentioned several months ago, I go and look at it every now and then just as a reminder. They intend to destroy these dominionists. They intend to destroy, Jim, every vestige and every element within functioning civil society and rebuild it back up within a theocratic framework. I don't know if you've ever read Margaret Atwood's The Handmaid's Tale.
No.
Because at one point it was a sort of a dystopian imagining of the future. But now it's looking like a dim blueprint. It really and truly is. You know, with the assaults, you know, if you can't whom you want and marry whom you want, if you cannot choose when and how and where to bear a child, if a child conceived from and half of whose genetics is obviously very much damaged goods, then, yeah, we're a dystopia, are we not?
Well, one would think so. But, I mean, you could go back to, here again, I've said this many times before, Germany of the 1930s. That's exactly where we're heading, in my opinion. I've said this for years on this program, and I'll say it again tonight. We're going back to people who wish to reshape state and those controlled by the state in their own image, and they will use the organs of the state to enforce by any possible means
their will on us, the unwilling, right?
And their objectives are completely atavistic, nihilistic, and they're going to bring this country down around everyone's knees and feet. They really are. It's a bad situation. It really is. I mean, I can't see any much difference between television and the rhetoric that's being used and the depths to which they will think to accomplish their ends, any difference between those of Dr. Goebbels and other people, and Emmett Kuhn of the Nazi Bund, and Father Conklin, the radio priest, and other luminaries of that period. I can't see much difference, can you?
No, I really and truly can't.
And we're just going back around. I mean, what Obama is presiding upon, and I don't think quite sure, because I'm not sure what his objectives are in the long term, but he has been playing into their hands since he took oath of office. He has given them so much grist for their mill. It is absolutely incredible. I mean, he's a very well-spoken, smooth-talking type of individual. But I'm afraid that he is a dwarf called upon by history to wear shoes that are much too big for him. Now, if that makes any sense to anybody, I hope they can pick up what I'm trying to say.
Oh, I think it makes an abundance of sense to a lot of people. Because, you know, that's one of the things that I've asked along the way, Jim. We're dead wrong in our analysis all along. You know, those of us, well, you know, he'd be more liberal if it wasn't for fill in the blank, crazy Republicans, a house controlled by, if it wasn't for, and you know, the excuses are legion that we have made.
Right.
But maybe, but we do kind of have to come down to that point where maybe we look at ourselves, Jim, and say we completely missed it all, and maybe this guy really, really is doing and being what he wants to be. Because it's hard to avoid the consideration of the Chicago school from which he comes. What he's done, you know, giving the Wall Street fraud merchants their head, letting them run with the bit in their teeth. That's what that school of thought says is the right way to go.
What is the difference, in your opinion, between Neville Chamberlain at Munich and Barack Obama?
I don't know. I think Neville Chamberlain was less willing to go to war than Obama is, because he certainly, you know, we're still out of Libya, aren't we? I mean, it's off the headlines, but we're engaged in a third or the first two and feel an ocean of grief washing over you. And you run through a gamut of emotions, from rage and anger to just horrible grief. The headline from Crooks and Liars: facing ninth deployment, Army Ranger kills himself. No way that God would forgive he'd seen and done, he told his wife. Susie Madrak writing, the people who should be worried about going to hell are the bastards who sent these soldiers over there for no good reason and then refuse to pay for the help they need when they come back. Because remember, Afghanistan, we were told by President Not Sure, Afghanistan is the right war. By the way, the manufacturers of Predator drones had themselves a little convention in, I think, Washington, D.C. this past week, wherein they had a children's exhibit. A children's exhibit of the world of drone aircraft and robots in your life. One British organization has noted that we have killed something on the order of 85 children, 85 innocents in Pakistan with these Predator drone miracles of the future. I wouldn't want to see that, my soul. Let's just go to the news report that Susie Madrak found and posted at Crooks and Liars in these last few minutes remaining to us this evening.
Says his fellow Rangers would not do anything to help him before he took his own life.
The Army found Staff Sergeant Jared Hageman's body at a training area of Joint Base Lewis-McChord a few weeks ago. Colonel Force Keith Eldridge has this exclusive report live.
Yeah, a spokesman for the base told me today that the nature of the death is still undetermined, but the widow of Staff Sergeant Hageman tells me that he took his own life and it didn't need to happen.
It was horrible. And he was crying.
Ashley Hageman says her husband Jared tried to come to grips with what he'd seen and done on 8 deployments in Iraq and Afghanistan and told her
that there's no way that any God would forgive him, that he was going to hell. he couldn't live with that anymore.
Ashley says her Army Ranger husband wanted out of the military.
He just wanted to know what it felt like to be normal again.
He had orders to return to Afghanistan this month. Instead, on June 28th, Ashley says her husband took himself in the head on base. She claims the Rangers never took his pleas for help seriously.
There's no way that they should have not been able to pick up on it. When he's telling them, he's reaching out.
And today, she found out she's not alone in wanting to speak out.
Hi. Thank you.
Mary Corkell Kirkland lost her son Derek to suicide more than a year ago. She says doctors at Madigan Hospital considered him a low risk for suicide despite three earlier attempts. They sent him back to his unit where he hanged himself.
Do you think the Army basically killed your son?
Yes. My son did not want to die. He wanted help. He was crying out for help.
Remember that. You're in good hands. You're not alone here.
And now the statistic. As Susie Madrak writes, more U.S. soldiers and veterans have died from suicide than from combat wounds over the past 2 years. They were killed by these god-awful, illegal, immoral, unjust wars as surely as if they had died in combat. Tell us again, President Obama. Tell us again how Afghanistan is the right war. The man was going back for a ninth deployment. A ninth deployment! Here's a hint. A military that sends people back for a ninth deployment is an already broken military. But Afghanistan is the right war. And husbands, wives, mostly it's men though, husbands, brothers, uncles, fathers. Broken on the rack of an unjust war that is killing our entire nation, will continue to die. A note from Jude saying, women standing will be present on the overpass outside the base, standing for those who are killed and committing suicide. Who will join us? There should be countless numbers of people standing for those who have been silenced by the sickness that is our involvement in places in which we have no business, save that of perhaps future business. You can see how wars like this would be existential nightmares for young soldiers. When the light goes on and they realize that they have seen their friends killed, that they have killed in their own right, and that they're doing it for nothing more than the maintenance of a corporate avarice. What a dark night of the soul that must surely be. So thank you all this evening. Thank you all for helping us get through a right rough spot. We'll be back tomorrow night. We are halfway through August, and I'm proud to say that we are, well, we made the halfway mark goal, and we're on track to finish the month as we should and as we must and as we need. Thank you. Okay, she says, by the way, those stats are accurate, and they don't take into account the homeless who will die this winter because they're too broken to come in out of the woods here in Montana. In the minds of many, not mine, not yours, but in the minds of many, veteran is a word for useless soldier. Thanks to our chat room moderators, Lottie and new moderator Sparky. Thank you to our news ninjas, Gene and Susan. Thank you to our blogger, Texas Betsy, our op-ed columnist, Reverbo. Thank you to John Fox. We're going to be working on some stuff here in the future that could really, really bring about a big change in how you hear and see the John's continuing time devoted to that. Thank you to Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Since 2002, literally saving progressive talk all on his own. WhiteRoseSociety.org. He never sends a bill, but he always needs help. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. Be a member, be a part of the solution. And always, always.